All right, good morning, men. Happy New Year. My name's David. I haven't been here in a month. Come on in. If you're a first-time guy, you're going to sit with Jesse if he's here. If not, I'll be there. First-time table right there. Please don't drink my coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. Is it good? If you do drink my coffee, let me know and you can have the rest. I was always one of those kids when I was little when somebody would say, hey, can I have a sip of your drink? And I'd be like, hold on just a second. Here, you can have the rest. I didn't share. It just grossed me out. Hey, that guy's getting close to my coffee. Man, there's a bunch of ugly guys here this morning. There's a lot of ugly guys. But there's one of us that doesn't look like a guy because she's not a guy. When Chap said, hey, I've invited somebody to come to make an announcement this morning who's female. And I'm like, wait a minute. We don't let females into Iron Men of God. No, not in the den. But somehow she slipped in, Nicole, right? So if you guys can give Nicole a quick, warm welcome. We're happy to have you this morning. How many of you guys have heard about the Habitat for Humanity? You're familiar with their mission. How many of you guys are not familiar with the mission of Habitat for Humanity? Okay, there's one, two, I was one. Nicole's going to spend a couple minutes and tell you a little bit about the Habitat for Humanity and a project that's coming up that some of you guys might have some bandwidth to participate in. There's also guys that are online, so I'm going to give you this little mic so you can tell them to.
Well, good morning. Thank you for letting me into your secret woman hater club or whatever. I'm so honored. I am the director of communications at West Orange Habitat. It's great to be here with you guys. I love the Lord too, just usually in my pajamas this morning. So kudos to you for being awake and fully dressed. We are looking for volunteers always. So this was a great opportunity to speak with you guys. I know you represent a lot of the West Orange community. So whether you are looking to volunteer with your own groups or if you wanted to get together and form a Iron Man of God group, that would be awesome. What we're doing right now is we're building three homes in East Winter Garden. They are all for single moms. And we do a build day every Saturday. It's usually from about 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So it's not your whole day, but we need volunteers to help us. 90% of our construction work is volunteer led. We only have 3 people on our staff. So we need you guys. If you don't know anything about Habitat, the way we work is that our homeownership program, you have to be accepted into the program. There's a couple qualifications that homeowners have to meet as far as having a steady income, a steady job for a certain number of months, a certain credit score, those kind of things. And then once they're accepted, they go on a journey for about a year to home ownership, which requires them to do about 300 hours of what we call sweat equity. So this is them volunteering either on the site, in our ReStore, which is right next door, stuff like that. And then they also are required to do financial literacy classes. So this helps prepare them for their home ownership. We want them to be successful once they get into their house. So we are also a mortgage company. If you didn't know that, we actually hold our mortgages for the homeowners. This way we can ensure that there are no interest and that the homeowners never pay more than 30% of their monthly income. So we have a really high success rate for our homeowners, which is awesome. And yeah, we'd love to have you guys come out and build with us one day. If you are interested, you can send me an email. It's nicole.campbell@westorangehabitat.org, or you can give us a call. We'll set it up for you. But yeah, this Saturday coming up, January 13th, we are in desperate need of some extra hands. So if you would like to come this Saturday, just flag me down, I guess, before I head out the door, or I can give you my contact information. So thank you guys so much.
All right. So Chap, if you could come up for just a second, I want everybody to see you just in case you guys didn't get Nicole's contact. This is a regular Ironman guy. So don't come to Ryan and I and ask us anything about this because we don't know anything. Go to this guy. Nicole, we are not a woman's hater club. We love women, right? Matter of fact, one of the things, Nicole, that those of us that are married or wanting to be married, Jesus tells us that we're supposed to love our wives as he loved the church. And which means that we're always supposed to be treating ladies with great kindness and love and generosity. So, and I know that that's a core value here at Ironman. So Nicole, thanks for coming in this morning. Appreciate you very much. Yosef, you're going to open us in prayer. And I don't know how you guys are tag teaming this morning, but we're excited about you introducing. Yosef said, I've never seen somebody look at me with such great fear when he found out that I was introducing. That's not true. It's been worse. All right, here's for the guys online.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have the honor of introducing Mr. Jim Taylor. First, like David said, I'd like to open in a word of prayer, ask everyone to stand. Father, I ask you to support Jim in conveying his message today and bless all of our time together studying in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, who is Jim? For this, we got to go back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created... Oh, a little too far back there, sorry. So Jim was born to Methodist missionaries in Africa, in a country that no longer exists. So he's got a fun token there. After that, he moved around and lived in a litany of different countries. Finally, settling down for his high school years in Sebring, Florida. He went to college at UCF studying radio, television, broadcasting, and computer science. Well, there he met his wife, now of 37 years, Sue. She blessed him with two amazing kids, and the family's expanded to 4 grandkids. The phenomenal part is this was somehow all done well at the youthful age of 29. He's still just 29. So engineering table, you guys get on that math. I'm not sure how it works. So that's great, but what about Jim's character? Why is he special? So he maintains a strong devotion to ministry, and I always saw this with him, but he's telling me a story where he left a programming job in the 90s to answer the calling to be a youth pastor to a community that needed it. And not for a month or 2 months. He stepped away for a number of years and answered that calling for youth ministry. And this wasn't a one-time thing. This is a continued calling in his life to help bring the next generation to Christ with a kind and welcoming heart. So it's with that I have the honor of welcoming Jim up and give the rest of the time to him.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. And Joseph, thank you for the intro. And we've gotten to know Joseph pretty well. He's actually been staying with my wife and I for the last 6 or 7 months. So he's gotten to know me well, too, I guess. But hey, how's it going, virtual guys? We're glad you guys are here, too. So don't want to forget about you. So, all right. Well, we've started into a new book for the year. 12 Ordinary Men is one of our books. And that's what we're focusing on each of the months. And this month, we're focusing on Peter. Last week, we got to hear from David as he introduced Simon Peter and how Jesus called him to be a fisher of men and also the zigs and zags of Peter's life. After calling Peter, Jesus needs to mold him from Simon to Peter, trying to bring forth Peter's leadership ability. And today I plan to talk some about leadership and character when it comes to Peter. So if you guys have your Bibles, if you got your Bible on your phone, feel free to grab it. We're going to take a look at Matthew 16, starting with verse 13, and we're going to be reading from the ESV, if that helps on your phone. But Matthew 16, so grab your Bible. And a little background while you're looking it up. Here in Matthew, leading up to this point, Jesus has healed many people. He's fed the 4,000. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders, have demanded a miraculous sign from Jesus. And then later, Jesus warns the disciples against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He warns them against the deceptive teaching of these leaders. So now, we arrive at verse 13. So let's all stand while we read that. All right, Matthew 16, 13 through 18. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The reading of God's word there. Pretty good stuff. Feel free to have a seat. Pretty powerful words there. So in our book, we're in chapter 2 in our book. Our author and pastor and teacher, John MacArthur, begins by showing us that Peter was formed and equipped by God's design to be a leader. In the chapter, MacArthur summarizes Peter's life with Christ by saying, he says, Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospels more than any other name except Jesus. No one speaks as often as Peter, and no one is spoken to by the Lord as often as Peter. No disciple is so frequently rebuked by the Lord as Peter, and no disciple ever rebukes the Lord except Peter. He goes on to talk more about Peter, and finally he says, all of that contributed to making Peter the leader Christ wanted him to be, the leader that Christ wanted him to be. So Jesus is working on leadership training with Peter, shaping him to be a leader of the 12 disciples, and also molding Peter to who he would need him to become for the future spread of the gospel and the church. So when we read Matthew earlier, we saw Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter immediately jumps in and confesses Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, Peter was quick to answer, as he does abruptly at other times. And unlike the other disciples that may have still been processing the question, because I probably would have been with them, Peter is bold and decisive. Jesus then says to Peter, "Blessed are you." And he explains the truth. He explains that the truth Peter has just boldly confessed isn't something that his human side came up with, but that his Father, who is in heaven, has just revealed that truth to him. Pretty nice stuff there, isn't it? So Peter just responded to God's leading in a positive way. He is growing in his leadership abilities. And John MacArthur, our author, goes on to note, Peter had the God-given fabric of leadership woven into his personality from the beginning. And he discusses some of the characteristics of a leader, characteristics Peter may have already had and characteristics he needed to grow into, such as inquisitiveness, initiative, involvement, and character. Character through learning, submission, restraint, and humility. So Yosef mentioned character earlier, which I thought was interesting because we didn't even talk, and I'm going to be talking about character now. So definition of character, the combination of qualities or traits that distinguishes an individual or group. The combination of qualities or traits that distinguishes an individual or group. In other words, that sort of fit with character, personality, integrity, reputation. All right, Iron Man, our character, our personal life and our faith and walk with Christ matters a great deal in our leadership abilities. You may not feel that you're a leader. You may say, well, I'm one of the guys that comes along behind the leader and follows. And both types of people are needed, but there are times you will be called to lead. Does your character then matter? And the answer from our book is it matters a lot. In fact, character is what makes leadership possible. I thought that was pretty powerful. Character is what makes leadership possible. People simply cannot respect or trust those who lack character, and they do not respect a man, they will not follow. And if they do not, if they do not respect a man, they will not follow him. Some tough words there. We're talking about character a little bit here, and preserving character, building character. Here's Yosef mentioned that me working with youth, and here's a way that I try to relate to character here, try to help us out here. So for many years, I've served as a youth leader, and yes, believe it or not, I enjoy working with and talking with teenagers. And working with teens and other adult leaders has required care in upholding my character. Now, it's not something that I just knew. I learned over the years, learned over time, and from other seasoned youth leaders, that trust amongst the teenagers, amongst their parents, and amongst the church staff is very important. Things that might seem innocent enough needed to be approached with it in an intentional way. Here's just a couple examples that I've learned over the years where I had to learn to be careful with uphold character. Work to never be alone with a teenager, especially one of the opposite sex. When giving rides, ask other teenagers or other adults to ride along. I remember times when youth would say, hey, can you give me a ride home? I need a ride home. And before I could say yes, I needed to see if I could get my kids to ride along or some other teenagers to ride along or other adults to ride along just to sort of not be alone with them. And sometimes I had to say no. When counseling with a teen, do so with other adults nearby or in proximity. No closed doors, and try not to counsel the opposite sex. Simple enough, when hugging, give side hugs to show acceptance, appreciation, and when a young lady comes in to hug you or hug me, I have to adjust and give her a side hug. So different things about character, and one that I had to sort of, on a more personal level, I had to be careful how I looked at the girls that came into the youth group. I had to work to protect my eyes and guard my thoughts about them, these young ladies. Okay, so we're talking about preserving character, and how does it apply? How does it apply to you? How does it apply to me on a daily basis? Some character traits that came to mind to me was, how am I about somebody tells me something in confidence? How am I at handling secrets? Can I keep my mouth shut? Can I not tell other folks? How about handling money? Can I be trusted with small amounts, large amounts, especially other people's money? In my work, do I tell the truth to the customer? Am I trying to hide something from my customer? Or on a more basic level, can I be trusted? Do I keep my promises? Am I known for my word? Is my handshake something others can trust? How about when on a business trip, what do I do during my personal time, my own time? Where do I spend the time? What do I watch? What am I surfing on the internet? Am I a much different person at home than the person I am at work, or the person I'm in public, or the person at church? And how is my public and my private language? So men, do other people know your character? I've got a story here. It's going to take a few minutes to sort of set the background, but I think this helps with, do other people know our character? Several years ago, my wife and I took in our 16-year-old niece that we barely knew. She was a true orphan, but she was family. We hadn't raised her. We really didn't know her. She didn't know us. But we felt that God asked all of us to do this with orphans. And yes, we could do this. After all, we had two kids that we've raised and now in college. Now, here she was in our home, and we quickly found out that there was a bit of emotional baggage and other problems that came with her. We all adjusted pretty well for the first year. Things went relatively well. There was a few bumps in the road. And then came along driving a car on her own, hiding conversations on her tablet and text messages, different boys showing interest in her, and other challenges. So my wife and I, we had to step up our parenting, and that included confronting the lying and removing some of her freedoms until trust could be restored. I'm guessing that quite a few of us remember this or know about this being parents. What had been a teenager in our family that was needing a home and needing parents had become a real challenge. Now, not all the blame can be placed on our now 17-year-old niece. Some of it was my fault, too. She was never quite comfortable having a father figure in her life. And when I look back, I realized I was having trouble connecting with her, and I wasn't able to give her the encouragement she needed. I was able to be a dad to her in some ways, giving her driving lessons, taking her, picking her up from gatherings and from work, and solving her issues on her laptop. She was determined, though, that when she turned 18, she would be an adult. She could then run her life, and she could even move out and be on her own. And she was determined. The maturity wasn't there, but she was determined. So things got a little rockier at home. An unknown boyfriend came into the picture, and more lies ensued. After trying to hide things, our niece basically had a breakdown, and we had to challenge what she had been up to. She then announced that she no longer wanted to live in our home. The next morning, after very little sleep, my wife was on the phone talking to Edgewater Children's Ranch and other children's homes around Orlando to see what they could offer to a 17-year-old. And our niece basically announced that she was moving out. She was running away. She had a friend come pick her up and took her all the way across town to Oviedo, where she would now live with her boyfriend and his family. And yes, it was tough. And we worked to know where she was living. But very shortly thereafter, she was posting on social media that her aunt and her uncle had kicked her out of their home, and she was no longer allowed to live there. And this just simply was not the truth. It was at that time that we were sharing the situation with a good friend, and we remarked that she was now spreading the lie that she was kicked out. And our friend abruptly stopped us, and before we could say anything else, she said, "Yeah, and who would believe that? Anyone that knows you knows that you wouldn't do that." It's now been 6 years or so, and I still remember that comment to this day. Tremendously helped me, and I have to believe it said something about my wife and I's character. So the question again, do other people know your character? Is that important? So when it comes to character, did Peter fail here? You bet he did. So do I. So do we. As Jesus was molding Peter to be a leader, his character was important. And unfortunately, as most of us know, Peter claimed that he would never abandon or betray Jesus. But he did that. He did just that 3 times. Peter knew immediately what he had done, and my guess is that he had a hard time showing his face to the disciples in the days that came. But fortunately, Jesus understands this and works to restore Peter and begins to restore his character by asking Peter 3 times if he loved him. All right, so wrapping things up, let's remember that Peter was formed and equipped by God's design to be a leader. Jesus chose Peter, inviting him to join Jesus and his Father in the work that they had for him. And over the next 3 short years, Jesus was able to mold and improve Peter's leadership abilities, and in doing so, built his character, one that allows Peter to step up and lead the early church and even guides us today through his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter. So there's more to come next week about Peter, but first, let's head to our small groups, and we're going to talk more about character and how God is revealing his truths to you. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jim. If we had any first-time guys that slipped in during the message, we do have a first-timers table right over here. You'll be hanging out with David Hill this morning. So again, first-timers, we invite you to that table. Other than that, table captains, the floor is yours.